Everyone said amen. Amen. I want to talk about the message today. We just finished our series on relationships, and I want to say this morning my message is going to be called Snacking on God Ain't Enough. We got to do more than snacking on God. All right? Now, God created us to depend on Him. All right? We were created to depend on God. And God created us to depend on Him not because God is so needy and He wants to control us, but He created us to depend on Him because He knew what we are up against. That He knew that the moment you are coming into this life, you're up against resistance. You're against opposition. Okay, He knew that there is darkness. There's a devil in this world. There are forces that are against you. And these forces, you and I have no chance without Him. We've got no way forward without Him. So He said, well, in order for you to overcome, you're going to need to depend on Me. Not because I need you, but because you need Me. So you and I have been called and created by God to depend on Him. That's why everybody, as we come into make entrance into this world, we cry. You know, we cry loud in the hospitals. Why? Because we're like, oh no. And God says, well, I got you. You can depend on Me. The Bible says the only one thing, listen to me, the only one person that can put the devil in his place, keep him at bay, the only one who can keep him out of any impact on your life is the only one that who overcame him, and that's Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, I am helpless. Without Jesus, I'm powerless. Without Jesus, I can't move any mountain in my life. So I need God because I know what I'm up against.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalms 20, verse 7, the Bible says that some will trust in horses and others will trust in chariots, but our trust will be in the name of the Lord. Yeah. See, some will trust in horses and others will trust in chariots. What are horses and chariots? Back in those days of battle, when you knew what was against you, horses and chariots was a form of confidence, was a form of power, was a form of the odds are in my favor because I got enough horses, I got enough chariots, so hey, the battle is on. When you didn't have horses and chariots, you were afraid. You're like, oh, it's bad because I got no horses or chariots to go to battle with. And David says, some will trust in horses, others will trust in chariots. But he says, I will trust in the name of the Lord. Now, the guy that is saying this, he's got so many horses. He's got so many chariots because the king is a great man of war. But he says, look, I'm not going to trust in my horses or my chariots, but I'll trust in the Lord.
Amen.
And some of us have made our jobs to be our horses. Some of us have made our great jobs to be our chariots. Some of us have made our good accounts to be our horses. Or some of us have made the government to be our chariots. We've made our great doctors to be our horses and chariots because we have put our trust and confidence in them. Now the Bible says that I got to put my trust in the Lord. When I put my trust in God, I'm expressing my dependence on Him. This is how prayer comes in. Prayer is an expression of your dependence on God. I'll say that again. Prayer is an expression of your dependence on God. Prayer is an expression of your dependence on God. Prayerlessness is an expression of your dependence on something else rather than God. Prayer is an expression of your dependence on God, and prayerlessness is an expression of your dependence in something else rather than God. The devil will be okay with you believing in God but not depend on Him. The devil will be just fine to have you as one who believes God, but never depends on God. Because he knows that as long as you don't depend on God, he's got a shot.
Amen.
You see, the only way that I can win over my own self, because sometimes I'm my own enemy, and any other opposing forces, is if I say, God, I will depend on you. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. And as 100% man he was, he depended on God. He put priority on his dependence on God. And here's the scripture. Look at this. He put priority on God. He put priority on God. He put priority on his dependence on God. How many think Jesus was quite busy? How many think Jesus had quite a lot of demands? But he put priority on his dependence on God because he knew he was 100% man. And as a man, he had no chance without God. So he put a lot of priority on it. And I know we live in a very fast-paced environment. We are very fast-paced culture. We got so many places to go, so many things to do. We got kids that are running us south and north and east and west. We got stuff too much to do. And sometimes we are running so crazy that we forget what we need the most. In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, this is one of the most interesting scriptures. The Bible says that the news about Jesus spread all over so that crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sicknesses. But look at verse 16. The Bible says, yet, everybody say yet. Yeah. Yet Jesus. Okay, there's so much demand. Yet Jesus frequently withdrew to lonely places to pray. Yet he withdrew himself. The media wanted to talk to him. People wanted to blog about him. People wanted to take selfies with him. People wanted to write, they would look at me at Jesus. They wanted to do so much with him. They wanted to do Facebook Live with Jesus. They wanted to do so much with him, but he withdrew himself to spend time with God to pray. Why? Because he knew he depended on God. Prayer is an expression of your dependence on God. Now, why did Jesus put such priority? Because he said, I can't do this without the Father. And I want to believe that you and I need to believe the same, that we can't do life without God. It's just not enough to believe on it. We got to depend on it. We got to depend on him for our children. We got to depend on him for our family. We got to depend on him for our lives, our health. We got to depend on him for everything. Now, here's the thing, guys. If you don't make time for God, he will not have any. If you don't make time for God, he will not have any. Amen. If I don't make time for God, if you don't make time for God, he will not have any. That's the way it is. That's how our life is. So I have to be very intentional. Jesus knew that if I don't make time for God, he's not going to have, because there's so many needs. There's so many people pulling me in so many directions. There's a lot of sick people that need me to heal them. There's a lot of people that want me to talk to him. But if I don't make time for him, he won't have any. So he withdrew himself. He left the needs and went to spend time with God. Because if he didn't make time for God, God would not have any. Jesus could have said, you know what? Oh man, people want me here. People want me. I can use this opportunity to preach the gospel. The cross way, I can preach the gospel. Like, no, that's not the priority. My connection, my dependence on God is more important than the needs I have. There's no greater need. To Jesus, there wasn't a need that was more urgent to him than his dependence on God. To Jesus, there was nothing more urgent to him. There wasn't a need big enough than his need for God. So that's why
He withdrew himself to go spend time with God. We got to put a priority. If we don't make time for God, he's not going to have any. Amen. You know what? I personally have, you know, every morning, the first time I wake up, I made my own rule. I say, I will not check in with the world before I check in with God. Amen. My wife is my witness. I don't check my phone. I won't check no Facebook. I won't check no world before I check in with the one who gave me another day. I won't check with anybody else but with the one that who's given me another life to live, with the one who died for me, saved my life, forgave my sin, got me out of hell, delivered me, gave me a new name, put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no one that deserves my attention more than him. And I know that without him, I'm empty. I have so much. I cannot fight. I cannot stand. I cannot win. I cannot live a victorious life without him. And I can't. I remember the day after the election, because I went to bed. I went to bed early before anything was known, and I woke up for that morning the next day, and everything in me wanted to check into the world to know what happened. And there was a battle right in my mind, and I wanted to reach for my phone and say, "Okay, what happened?" And I had the Spirit says, "But you check in with God first." And I said to myself, you know what, that will be, whatever it is, will be, but I'm not breaking. And I was so proud of myself because I just realized, oh man, there was a battle just as soon as I got out of bed. And that battle was pulling my heart and my soul to check in and see what happened. But the moment I got up, I was like, no, I will check in with God before I check in with the world. But I had to make that rule, because if you don't make time for God, he will not have any time. I don't know about your life, but in my life, with the things I want to do and I got to do, if I don't make time for God, he's not going to have any time. You see, the disciples saw Jesus devoted to prayer, given to prayer. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him do so many things. And they never asked him, teach us how to preach and teach us how to heal the sick. They only came to him in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. They said, Jesus, you know what? Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We've seen you do so many things, but we've seen your devotion to prayer. Teach us to pray. Why? Because prayer was very demonstrated by Jesus, and the disciples knew that, you know what? I got to pray. And prayer is your expression of dependence on God. It's your expression. You're created to depend on God, and prayer is your expression. Now, why do we have to pray? Because God is generous. God is generous. He's generous. He's like, I want to give you peace. I want to give you order. I want to intervene. I want to pour out my blessing on you. I want to preserve you. I want to protect you. I want to give you my mercies. I want to give to you. But James says, James chapter 4 verse 2, this is what he says. He says, you desire, you do not have. You do not have because what? You don't ask because you feel you got it. You don't ask because you feel you get it through your job. You don't ask because you feel you got a good job, you get it taken care of. You don't ask because you probably have a good credit card and you swipe the card. You do not ask because you feel you got it. How many of us do not have patience simply because we don't ask for it?
Come on.
Right? How many of us do not have peace in our homes because we do not ask for it? How many of us might be frustrated with our old habits creeping up on us because we do not ask God to help us? How many of us may not be spiritually hungry and thirsty enough because we just don't ask? You know, how many of us maybe just worried about life because we're not asking? We are too busy trying to figure it out, or too busy trying to take out fires
While if we ask God, maybe the fires will not even start in the first place.
Amen. Amen. I receive it.
But we're running wild trying to take out fires in our lives. The Bible says you do not have because you do not ask. The Bible says in Psalms 50 and verse 15, it says, call upon me the day of what?
Trouble.
Call me the day of trouble and I will deliver you.
Yes.
Now check this out. God doesn't deliver you because of trouble.
No.
He delivers you because you called on him.
Yes.
Because you can have trouble. Trouble doesn't catch God's attention. What catches God's attention is you calling on him. He says, I deliver you in a trouble if you call on me. I don't come into your life because I see marital trouble and I see financial trouble and I see health troubles. God doesn't move by troubles in our lives. We can have troubles all day and God is not moved by troubles. But the Bible says, call on me in the day of your trouble and that's when I will deliver you. So if I don't call on him, then the trouble can hang around.
Thank you, Lord.
You see, some of the reasons why we have excused and justified our prayerlessness are things that reasons we've made up. I've had people say, I pray all the time. What? I pray all the time. Now, how many know that sounds really cool? That sounds really, but you know what people really mean? When people say I pray all the time, they're saying, I can't afford to put order and structure and make time for God. So I pray all the time. So in other words, I pray on the run, on the go. I try to find cracks in my day and squeeze God in. You know, I when I need a parking spot, I can say, oh God, here is, oh God, Jesus, I need a parking spot right across the door, Lord. And, you know, I'm checking out, I'm like, God, because, you know, I'm praying as I go. Because, you know, I don't need to pray. I pray all the time. I pray in the shower. You know, I pray on the road and I pray all day. But you know how many know those, most of those people are just lying? Now, it sounds good, and if it was true, it wouldn't be any problem. But Jesus didn't just pray all the time. He set himself aside and focused on prayer. He made time for God. He made time for God. He made time for God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer. Look at that. Devote yourselves to prayer.
Amen.
Being watchful. Watchful means I need to look out for distractions against prayer. I need to look out for stuff that is trying to sneak up and draw me away from prayer. Be watchful and thankful, but devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself. What does the word devotion mean? Devoting means what? Commit yourself to it. That means I need to devote myself. If it's going to be 10 minutes every day, so I will be 10 minutes every day. If it's going to be 15, then it's going to be 15. If it's going to be 30, then it's going to be 30. If it's an hour, then I'm going to devote myself to pray. The Bible says devote yourself to prayer. God knew you needed it. God knew I needed it, so he told us to do it.
Amen.
Now, how much more can I fight that if God says devote myself to prayer? How much can I just live a prayerless life when God says, hey, I want to give to you, but you got to come to me. Devote yourself to prayer.
Amen. Yes.
Just as much as we devote ourselves to sleep. How many know I can't keep snacking on a 2-hour sleep? You know, 2-hour nap, power nap here and there. I mean, I'm not going to be functional sooner or later. I'll walk like a zombie sooner or later if I'm not getting my quality sleep. How many know you can't just go around snacking all day, eating chips and eating banana and this and that? Some know you got to settle down once a day and eat a real hearty meal. You can't just keep snacking on it. You got to sit down and eat a real meal. And some of us, the way we treat prayer is like a snack, because we just snack on it 2 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 1 second here, 2 minutes here, 5 minutes, and we never get a real time where we focus on God and sit down and get a real hot meal with Jesus, because we are so busy, we are running crazy, and we never get a good time with Him. Because we're just snacking on it. But if I can't do that with food, God says, devote yourself to prayer just as you can devote yourself to eating. Just as you devote yourself to sleeping. Devote yourself to prayer. Yes, it's cool to pray on the run. It's cool to pray before you go for that interview. It's good to pray before you go to a doctor's office. It's great. But I'm saying, until you have a focused time with God. How many know you can never go deep with God if you're just hanging with Him on a run? I can't get nutritional value if I'm only snacking my life away. And if my prayer life is simply a snack prayer life, I can never go deeper with God. Because my attention is divided. I'm in the shower, Jesus, I'm shampooing my hair, Jesus, bless this day. Or breakfast time, oh God, thank you, help me with that interview. I'm driving, oh crazy, look at that crazy guy, almost cut me off. Oh God, have mercy, Lord. Da-da-da-da. And I'm just going on with my life like that. It's not focused. I have to devote, I have to make time, guys. Devote yourself to prayer. Give yourself to prayer. Make it a habit. Make it a lifestyle. I'm not just saying this, but this is how the church started. Look in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says all this with what? One accord. Look at that. Where what? Devoting themselves to prayer. The church, that's how they did it. They devoted themselves to prayer. When they called a prayer meeting, it wasn't five people that showed up. It was almost all the church showed up, because they understood they depended on God. They needed God. The jobs weren't enough. The economy wasn't enough. The doctors weren't enough. Nothing was enough. All the good cars weren't enough. God was enough. And they needed God. And they depended on God. They expressed their dependence on God. And they devoted themselves to prayer together with the women. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Bible says the early church, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Prayer was huge. Prayer was part of everything they did. There wasn't being a Christian and being prayerless in the early days. That's why they had so much victories. Imagine with me, if we could just be consistently praying, could you imagine what would happen to our lives and our children and our family, and we're just consistently given to prayer? Amen. Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says the apostles say they would devote themselves. There are so many things to do, but they say, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's what they did. Romans 12, verse 12. I'm trying to lay my case here. Well, we have to devote ourselves. He said, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and what? What would it mean if I wasn't in prayer? I wouldn't be empty. I'd be naked. I wouldn't be any help, guys. That's what it says. Do all things. Rejoice in hope. Be patient. But remember to be devoted to prayer. You gotta devote yourself to prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. The Bible's praying what? At all times. So if I can devote myself, then I can pray all the times in the Spirit. Right? If I'm focused and I have time with God and I connect with God, whatever my time is, where nothing else matters but God right there, then I can go on the run and pray as I want, and I can pray in traffic and I can pray on that. But listen to me, I can't just say prayer at all times when I can't pray focused on Him. Amen. When I can't make time for Him. Amen. You see, prayer is not this infrequent thing that you do. It's not supposed to be this
hit and miss. You know, I prayed yesterday, but I didn't pray 2 days ago, and I may not pray tomorrow, but I'll pray on Friday. It's not supposed to be haphazard. It's supposed to be this continuous rhythm between you and God, because it's a relationship. You've been called into a personal relationship with Him, and you've been called that God wants you to depend on Him because He's got your back. He wants to be involved in your life, and He wants you to treat prayer just like you treat the other factors in your life. Simply like you devote yourself to other things, you can devote yourself to prayer. You see, you may eat on the go, but you need to sit down and eat a good meal once in a while. Every day at least. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, I want to finish this very quick. You want to make it your aim to say, you know, I'm going to obey God's word. I'm going to do what God's. I'm going to devote myself to prayer. Solitude and quiet in moments, you and God, you find your time. You make it work your way. You see, some of the things the devil has planted in our life, in our minds, to kind of kill these moments with God is stuff like I pray at all times. And the other one is, you know, praying regularly is a religious thing. What a lie from hell. Say, oh, if you pray regularly, that's religious. Don't have to be religious. Listen. If being devoted to prayer makes me religious, and that's what the Bible says, I'll be religious all day long.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
It's a lie when the devil begins to mess with your mind to kill your focus on God, your moment with Jesus, your consecrated time, your focused moment with God, to make you feel like that is religious. It's not religious. It's being positioned with God. It's being positioned in God. This is not something you have to do. Listen carefully. It's not something you have to do. It's something you get to do. I'm telling you, it's not something you have to. It's something you get to. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. I know we think about the galaxy and the galactic force, and we think about the supernova and the space and time and energy, and we look at the galaxy and say, oh man, how glorious all that. But let me tell you, there's nothing that's more glorious when you depend on God and God shows up and God is glorified through you because you prayed and you asked Him and He intervened and God worked on your behalf against a bully, the devil, the liar, and you came out as a champion. That is more glorious to God than the galaxies themselves, because you're just a man. You're just a man. You're just a man. And because of the God in you, you took on the devil, the liar, the deceiver, this darkness of this world, and you stood against every temptation and you overcame. And God said, well, that is my daughter right there. God gets proud of you because you overcame, and because He fought the battle on your behalf. Because you prayed. Because His grace came upon you. His strength came upon you. So friends, it's not religious to pray every time. It's biblical to pray every time. It's not religious to have a committed, devoted time with God. It's biblical to devote yourself to prayer. Amen. God wants to bless His friends. He wants to help us. Another reason I have people say, I'm not a good Christian. So I don't know the words to say. I'm not a good Christian. I'm not like them people. I don't like the leaders in the church. I'm not like the pastor. How many know the Bible didn't say pastors devote yourself to prayer? It said devote yourself to prayer. It ain't single out that those you think are spiritual. He said, hey, you're a Christian, devote yourself to prayer. He said, it's a lie when the devil makes you think that you're not a good Christian. So you can't pray because you're not good enough. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he says, let us therefore come boldly what? To the throne of what? That's why it's called a thorn of grace, because you're not good enough. That's why it's called a thorn of grace, because you are so not good enough.
Because you got issues. That's why it's called the throne of grace. You fail. That's why it's called the throne of grace. God says, come to me. I know you're jacked up, messed up, you're screwed up, but you are mine anyways. Come on. Don't use your shortcomings as a way to disqualify yourself. Use Jesus' accomplishment as a way to qualify yourself to come before God. Come on, I'm preaching better than you want to accept that. That's why it's called the throne of grace. I need to come because I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified to pray because I'm a good person or I'm a good Christian. I'm not qualified to pray because I obey the Bible to the letter. I'm not qualified to pray because everybody knows me as a super spiritual Christian. I'm qualified to pray because Jesus qualified me. Even in my mess and my shortcomings, God says, come boldly. Come on. I know you messed up. Come on.
Yes.
And that's why it calls me. Listen, me praying, giving myself to prayer, does not make me better than you. Let me say, me praying or you praying doesn't make you better than anybody else. It makes you better than you. Now, if you're writing, I think I'll write that. If you're listening, I think I'll love that somewhere in my head where I'll never lose that. You devoting yourself to prayer doesn't make you any better than any other person. It only makes you better than yourself. So God says, devote yourself to prayer. Don't think about it. I got to have the right words. I got to have this crafted manual words to say to God. Or I got to pray with all these cliches that are meaningless and no depth. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray, Father God, hallelujah. Father God, oh God, could you do it? Father God, all those meaningless cliches, that's not what makes prayer prayer. Prayer is an expression of your dependence. You got just your own words, man. There's no crafted words you got to come up with. Can you imagine if I had to have a conversation with my wife and I had to pull up a little crafted matter? Okay, what is it? Honey, I want to tell you I love you. And also I want to tell you that, hey, could you make me some breakfast? Okay. Oh, could I, you know, if it wasn't, it's just going to be weird, right? You want eye-to-eye connection, heart-to-heart talk, right? That's how God wants it. So get all these hang-ups that we have about prayer that have messed us up and really develop a life of prayer as a Christian. Be devoted to prayer. Make up a time that you can. And possibly, every time I worship is be part of my prayer time, I that's how I start off. I mean, I get my phone, turn my music, and I start worshiping. That's how it does. And I can't do prayer without worship. And that's me. But you got to find a way you're going to do it. But the whole point I'm saying here today, you need to be better than you today, tomorrow, and the next day. And you need to depend on God. And you need to make that time, you and God. Because God wants to pour out His mercies and grace on your life. And it will be helpful if you devoted yourself to prayer. Now, I want us to take a few minutes this morning as we sit on tape. I want us to help each other this morning.